morning. Welcome to worship. It is good to see you all, and it's good to be here. We welcome all visitors, all guests, and of course are happy to see our Redeemer family. A couple announcements before we start church. This year for Lent, we'll focus on Wednesdays on some Lutheran truths from the Small Catechism. We're going to be using hymns to focus on some hymns that Martin Luther wrote to explore our faith. And it's going to start on Wednesdays. The worship is at 7 p.m. And don't forget, dinner is at 6. This week we'll have spaghetti and salad. And we look forward to seeing you there. Tonight also is Family Ministries game night. You're all invited, young and old, to come and share in this time of fun and fellowship. It starts at 6. Please come, bring a friend, and bring a dessert to add to the dessert bar that I'm sure we'll all want to get a taste of. Sarah, don't be distracted, is not here at worship today. She is worshiping at a local Presbyterian church as part of her studying. She's in a worship class where she's studying other denominations, and she will be writing some theological papers about that. But she will be back later today. Yearbook information is due this week. Please update your information and turn it in by March 10th. And the drop-off box is in the narthex. One more thing. Don't forget, this Saturday is Spring Forward. If you will set your clocks ahead 1 hour on Saturday night, don't forget, or else you'll be late to church. And you don't want to do that. But we'll forgive you if you are. Anyway, again, it's good to see you all here, and let us prepare for worship.
Thank you. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we know we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to heal us and set us free. In God's mercy, you are forgiven. In God's love, you have life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen, amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fail, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Seated, would the children please come forward?
Good morning, everybody. I have a plan for something for y'all to do. I've got somebody out there in the congregation, and I want you to go tell them a lie. Would y'all do that for me?
No.
No? Okay, wait a minute. What if I gave you $1 if you would do it?
No.
No? You would do it for $1? All right, wait a minute. What about if I gave you $5?
No.
You want to Crawford, you can't come up here now. But it's just a lie. If I gave you $100, you would do a lie? No, Lily, you wouldn't do a lie. What if I gave you $1,000? Would you go tell a lie?
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. Now, is it right to tell a lie?
No.
No. And you know that I offered you a $5 bill and a $1 bill, but did you see $1,000?
No.
Do you really think I got $1,000 hidden in this hymn book?
No.
No. No, you're right. I was promising something I couldn't give you, could I? Mm-mm.
Well,
that's what you do when you lie to somebody. You're promising something you can't deliver. That's right. But that's also what temptation does. And to, I mean, it's pretty tempting as I start up in the money. You start.
You came over here. We got people in the congregation. Stand up. Wave your hand.
Temptation encourages us to do something wrong, and it promises us something good, doesn't it? But does that good ever come out of it? No, it doesn't. Yeah, you could. That's right. But sometimes when we're tempted to do things, we think something good's going to come, and it doesn't come. The prayer I just prayed called that empty promises. Promises that don't have anything to them. And that's what temptation does. And so, I'm not giving anybody any money today, and I don't really want you to tell a lie. But I wanted you to learn a little bit about temptation. You saw it affect all kind of people. Miss Martha in the choir, Rachel stood up wanting money. Yeah. You're in college. You need it. So people everywhere were standing up saying, I'll take that kind of money, because temptation was too great for them to resist. But God tells us to follow God's way always and to do what's right. So that's what I wanted you to remember today. Then we ask for forgiveness. If you lie to somebody and then know it's wrong after, you ask for forgiveness and you try to fix what you did wrong. Yeah. And you promise not to do it again.
You could give them.
Well, you could, but I think the worst part, what God to have hearts that are sorrowful. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, sometimes temptation is so hard for us. Help us to continue our faith in you and always to do things you would have us do. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson. Reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. lesson is a reading from Romans. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Man versus Wild. It's a survival show on TV starring Bear Grylls. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've even watched it. Children like to watch it. And thanks to this man named Bear, my children may have a fighting chance if ever they're dropped into the Amazon rainforest or the Alaskan tundra. And the show is basically as it sounds. He parachutes into desolate wildernesses. He climbs steep cliffs with no tether. He runs through forest fires, wrestles winds, water currents, even catches his own dinner, using himself as bait. He's a professional, a professional adventurer. His job, his mission, is to seek out dangerous survival situations and go there. He plans these things. He plans wilderness situations where it is certainly him versus the wild elements of nature. This whole human versus wild nature thing, conflict, the humans versus the wilderness, is not a new conflict. Take, for example, what we heard this morning from Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve in the wild of the Garden of Eden, with a crafty serpent, starring a crafty serpent, tempting them not to follow what God had already told them. You could title that Adam and Eve versus the crafty serpent, not man versus wild. Or you could title it woman and man versus wild serpent. And what about the other story, the story we know so well from the Bible, the story of Israel? A whole nation, they're in the wilderness for 40 years. They wander away from God over and over again. They mistrust God, and they want to rely on themselves, just like Adam and Eve. God's chosen people behave in ways that they know God has not instructed them. That whole saga could be titled Israel versus the Wild. And in the gospel reading today, Jesus is dropped into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He's driven there after his baptism to be tested and tempted by the devil, Satan, the adversary. Yes, that one could be titled Jesus versus Satan in the wilderness. Jesus is alone, he's hungry, and he's facing the devil's crafty ways. If you're the Son of God, show me, the devil says. Three times Jesus is tested or tempted. Satan says, you have the power as the Son of God, so use it. Use it to satisfy your hunger. Use it to turn all these thousands of stones into bread for your own satisfaction. Jesus doesn't respond to the request of the devil, not because he doesn't require food. He's human, after all. Satan tells Jesus to throw himself down from the high pinnacle next. Again, on a whim, and just do it to prove that God's angels will save you from getting hurt, Jesus. But Jesus doesn't do it. But not because Jesus can't. Satan finally tests Jesus with guaranteed political power over all the kingdoms that you see before you, if he just bow before Satan. And Jesus doesn't do that either. Throughout these tests, Jesus responds with the words of the scripture, verifying his own connection with God's people and their story. His answers are a reflection of the past and a foreshadowing of the future of Jesus' ministry. Jesus doesn't turn the stones into bread for himself, but later he will feed others in the wilderness with just two fish and five loaves. Jesus doesn't throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple on request of Satan,
but he will be crucified on the cross on a hill. Jesus doesn't accept the kingdoms of the earth at the devil's offer, but he does go on to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, that it belongs to everyone who lives in right relationship with God. The wilderness. Jesus is not there by accident. There's a biblical history of the people in the wilderness. And Jesus is standing right in the middle of it. Wilderness is a place, is the place of hunger, struggle, danger, and deliverance, testing and preparation. Adam and Eve and the people of Israel, and well, the whole creation has been waiting for someone to come and get it right. Get this wilderness thing right. Through the hunger, struggle, danger, Jesus shows us who God is. And Jesus gets it right. He shows us the kind of Messiah he is, faithful and obedient. The temptation is a pivotal point in the narrative. It's a launching pad for Jesus' earthly ministry, where the rubber meets the road. From here, he proclaims that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He calls his disciples, and he heals the sick faithfully and obediently. We are at that point of contact. Jesus came into the world as God incarnate to tell us and to show us who God is. Jesus went straight into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, and so do we. We are led by the same Spirit out of our baptismal waters into the wildernesses of this world, whatever that looks like in your life, in our life. And it is where discipleship makes a difference. Where who we follow, what choices we make, how we respond to adversity matters. Where what we say to remembering the needs of others before our own needs matters. It's a wild world out there. And as men and women of faith, we look to Jesus in the wilderness as we strive against the temptations of the devil. Our call is to know our security rests in God alone through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us. Jesus knew the danger. He knew the chances of survival. Yet he forged ahead into the wilderness, onto the cross, through the grave, and all the way for you and me. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty Lord, bless us on these first few steps of our Lenten journey. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us in these days, O God. Give us a new vision of your grace for us. Open our ears to your call and our hearts to your love. Lord, in your mercy, God of mercy and grace, create in us clean hearts. So often our hands reach out for that forbidden fruit. So often we allow our own desires to rule our lives. So often we care more for ourselves than for you. We repent today, O God. Forgive us. Care for us in spite of our wrong. Lead us today and every day in your steps. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, living is not always so easy. Be with and bless all those in need, those who hunger, those who are alone, those who have voids in their lives that need filling. Where there is hurt, give your comfort. Where there is joy, increase that joy. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly King, you are the God of our past, our present, and our future. You have been faithful to us in our past. You are with us now. Give us trust and hope for the bright future we have with you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
us pray. Merciful God, receive the sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and the offering of our lives, that following in the way of the cross, we may know the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and joined us in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.